Chapter 3, The 5 Key Areas of Success. Success is a destination, and you are already there. Lisa Robin Young. Anyone who knows me knows I'm fairly friendly and energetic most of the time. One day in particular, I was not at my best, and had I allowed myself to wallow in it, my first book, and the inspired story that goes along with it, never would have happened. And yes, if you've ever read The Secret Watch, you'll recognize just how much this reads like the opening chapter. I'd been at a conference for several days that I'd hoped would catalyze new growth in my business. It did, but not in the way I expected. In my mind, I expected people to flock to me, beg to work with me, and then I'd watch the dollar bills come rolling in. Not even close. I sat in the airport feeling down on myself and doing my best to hide it from the world. I told the flight attendant I had a cold and asked if she could reassign my seat. My bad attitude didn't need to rub off on anyone else. She gave me the last row in the back of the plane. Perfect. Alone in an airport, feeling less than inspired, I wanted to get home, see my kids, and get back to my own bed. Moments later, Stevie made her grand entrance. She appeared to be dressed a bit too young for her age, carrying a small dog in her kennel bag. All kinds of judgments about this woman flew through my grumpy mind. She was so loud, so flirty, too much fun for an airport. Whatever that meant. She was just enjoying life and not letting anyone else rain on her parade. As passengers started boarding, she headed down the jet bridge with the other first-class passengers. Of course she's in first class, I grumped to myself. I'm gonna have to try not to hit her in her chipper face with my carry-on as I walk past. Like I said, bad mood. Sure enough, as I'm the last one to board, there's Stevie with her arm thrown over one of the seats, shouting, trying to find a passenger so she could switch seats with him. Apparently his wife got the only available first-class upgrade for the flight, leaving him back in coach with the rest of us. Stevie was giving up her seat so they could sit together on the flight. Okay, maybe she's not all bad, I said to myself, and carefully slid past her to the tail of the plane. A few minutes after reaching cruising altitude, Stevie came trotting down the aisle to the restroom. Alone in my row, by the window, and well away from the aisle, I was writing, okay, grumping, in my journal. Stevie leaned against the wall for a minute, trying to make small talk, but she only got curt answers from me in return. Then, she invaded my personal space. Stevie thrust her arm in front of my face like she was trying to show me the time. Rhythmically pointing to her naked wrist, Stevie insisted, "You should write a book called The Secret Watch, and every second tells you something special." Hey, I can take a divine hint, especially when it almost hits me in the face. I opened to a blank page in my journal, wrote down what she said, and got busy. I figured if nothing else, she'd leave me alone if I looked like I was working. A minute or two later, she walked away. I never did see Stevie use the lavatory. I had previously developed the PEACE system, a process to help creatives prioritize their daily tasks based on their 5 key areas of success. As I was writing, it occurred to me that 60 is evenly divisible by 5. I was a music major, not a math major. Cut me some slack. By the end of the flight, I'd mapped out 60 inscriptions, 12 for each of the 5 key areas of success. And while they didn't all make it into the book, they were the foundation that made the book an international bestseller. How you define success matters. Inside my Dream Blazing course, I remind my students that success isn't about what other people want for you. It isn't about what you think you want, or even what you think you should want. You've got to stop shoulding on yourself and be true to what really matters to you. The 5 key areas of success are where we begin the first step of the Dream Blazing process. In all my research, and more than 10 years of personal experience with this model, these 5 areas came up time and again as integral to every person's life. They may be defined slightly differently from person to person, but I've learned over the years that if you neglect any one of these areas for too long, it starts to decay or die. In some instances, if you neglect an area long enough, it will quite literally kill you. That's how important they are. In this chapter, you'll be creating your own definitions of these words, definitions that resonate deeply with you. The guidelines that follow offer a very loose structure with which you can begin to see the possibilities of how you might define these words. But the actual definitions are up to you, and they are sacred. Don't let my loose definitions or those of anyone else force you to change your personal definitions, as they are the core drivers of all your behaviors. In the event you're working through this material with a partner, it's important for each of you to craft your own definitions first, then work together to find meaningful definitions that resonate for both of you. It may mean some compromise, but it should never mean compromising yourself or what matters most to you. Remember, the only definition that matters is yours. This is one time when copying your neighbor's answers will get you a failing grade for sure. Key area one, faith. What if it were up to you to do something revolutionary, but you lack the faith in yourself to move forward? We would all be denied your great work. As I wrote in The Secret Watch, faith is the antidote to fear. But what does that really mean? Faith is that which inspires you to live the life you are called to live on this planet, to serve the world in your unique way with your unique gifts. It's found in the nexus between your core beliefs and your values. When you drive, you have faith that the oncoming driver will stay on their side of the road because you value your life and have a core belief that most people also value their life or will at least obey the law. If you didn't value your life, what would keep you from crossing the double yellow? If you didn't believe that others would obey the law, you probably wouldn't get on the road in the first place. It's a simplistic example, but it conveys the point. Faith isn't necessarily about religion, God, or spirituality, though they can be aspects of faith. For some people, church is the sum total of their faith experience, but there are plenty of people with no religious background who set goals and achieve them. Without a set of core beliefs and values, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to navigate the world. Imagine a person with no core beliefs or values moving through the world like a leaf tossed about on the breeze. Can you imagine a business like that? Better question, can you name a successful business like that? Key area two, family. When we think about family, sometimes we rejoice, other times we shudder. Living or dead, whether related by blood or not, our family are those closest to us. Family lifts you up, inspires, and encourages you. As I wrote in The Secret Watch, sometimes friends are as family. Friends can know us better than our relatives ever could. Friends can often be closer to us than our own flesh and blood. So yes, friends can be part of your family definition, but they are not always that close and sometimes belong in one of the other key areas. Your workout buddy may fall under the key area of fitness, while your Bible study group may better fit in the key area of faith. The other side of this coin, your genetic and ancestral relations, might not even be part of your definition of family. That's perfectly fine. Sometimes we have blood relationships that are toxic or disempowering, so counting them as your family for this exercise would go counter to what we're trying to accomplish. If you have a toxic relationship that you want to heal, perhaps with a parent or a child, it might fit here, but again, it might not. Trust your own instincts on this. Don't get wrapped up in the shoulds here. For most of us, it's easier to cut ties with a toxic friend than it is a toxic relative. This is one time when you get to pick your family. Moving to Nashville meant moving away from all my relatives. When I divorced, I lost a few more relatives, but I never lost my family. Male, female, young and old, related or not, I've made an effort to choose my family and to surround myself with people who love me for who I am, keeping me honest and humble in the process. To me, that's the best kind of family a person can have. Key area three, fitness. You can probably think of a fitness goal easily enough. Drop 20 pounds, get in more exercise, drink more water. But fitness, in this sense, is more of a holistic view at what keeps you healthy. Much like faith isn't solely or exclusively about church, fitness isn't solely or exclusively about dropping a size, gaining muscle, or losing fat. Adequate sleep, proper nutrition, exercise, regular physicals, and routine exams are definitely part of the fitness puzzle, but there's more. We're talking mental, physical, emotional, and social well-being. What are you reading? What are you learning? How are you nourishing your brain, your body, and your soul? Remember those relationships that need healing? That's social and emotional fitness. It may mean getting professional help or setting healthy boundaries, but it's all in the name of the total fitness package for your life. In terms of your business, how are you growing and sustaining the business? How does it nourish you? And what is your role in nourishing it? Are there things you need to learn or train others on so that your business can function in a more healthy way? Your business is an extension of you, and if you're not healthy, neither is the business. There was a time when I worked from sunup till bedtime. My son called the babysitter mom by mistake. Self-care was not a priority. For over 10 years now, I've dedicated time each morning to the peace system process as a means of taking care of myself before jumping into the fray of the day. It's made all the difference for my mental and emotional well-being. I notice the difference when I don't take the time to do it in the morning, and so do my kids. Key area 4, fortune. Living a life of good fortune is about more than your job or your business. It's about the stories we tell ourselves about money, as well as the amount of income and outflow. Fortune is about how well you allocate all your resources, time, energy, money, and attention. When you apply them based on what matters to you, you'll feel more successful even if you don't have a ton of cash burning a hole in your pocket. On the other hand, if you're spending a lot of time and energy on projects that deflate you, no amount of money will make you feel successful. I've worked with clients who paid me less than my typical rate and had an absolute blast working with them. I've had clients who were such a pain in the arse, I charged them a premium and still ended up firing them. At any point in time, it was the money stories I had playing in my head that ultimately impacted my sense of success around my financial situation. What's your money story? My friend and colleague, Teresa Romaine, holds an annual workshop that gives people an opportunity to experience abundance in different forms. One of my favorite exercises from the workshop is a game where the participants give and receive money. What's interesting is that there are only 3 instructions. 1, everyone starts with the same amount of money, and we all know that we'll get our money back at the end. 2, exchange money with the other participants until time is called. And 3, have fun. Unlike life or business, where there are no guarantees about a return on our investment, Teresa assures us that we'll get our money back. Yet, by the end of the exercise, before we get our money back, some participants have significantly more money than others, and some have no money at all. What happened? As a spectator, Teresa sees how some people quickly push the money away, almost faster than they can receive it. Others seem to hoard it or get grabby. Some ask and say thank you, while others won't even look participants in the eye. It's interesting to see the unconscious stories and beliefs that show up in our behaviors around money, she said. Those who pushed money away often carried an unconscious belief that they didn't deserve to have the money, or that someone else deserved it more. Those who amassed more money carried different beliefs that may or may not have empowered them. An every man for themselves mentality, for example, could create unnecessary anxiety in what was supposed to be a fun game. Some money stories are more empowering than others, and like your family, you get to choose them. After Teresa shared her observations, all the money was returned as promised, and we all got a firsthand experience of how our behaviors reflect our beliefs, whether we want them to or not. Key area 5, freedom. People, activities, ideas, adventures that give you a sense of overall freedom instead of feeling like you're in bondage or servitude. These are the things that leave you feeling a sense of freedom, accomplishment, and confidence in your life. It's easy to mistake freedom for fun. There's definitely a lot of fun to be had in life and work, but freedom is deeper and wider than just having a good time. In fact, too much of a good time doesn't give us a sense of freedom. Instead, it leaves us feeling heavy, responsible, and disempowered. Sometimes a greater sense of freedom comes in striving for a larger goal. In an effort to get and stay out of debt, I wanted to pay cash for a laptop and a phone. I also knew I didn't want to have a car payment anymore, so I sold my car. I was lucky to owe less on it than it was worth, so I used the extra cash to buy my laptop and phone and started saving for a used car. My mobility was temporarily hampered, however, and I relied on the kindness of others. That was certainly not fun. Asking for help was a tough yet valuable lesson for me to learn. 3 years later, I had enough cash to buy a safe, reliable set of wheels to cart me around town, and with it, a tremendous sense of freedom to come and go as I pleased without having to make a monthly payment for the privilege. It would be easy to make this a catch-all key area, and in some ways, I suppose it is. You've got dreams, goals, and desires rooted inside you that may not fit in other key areas. put them here. To be able to take the time to write when I knew it wasn't going to pay the bills immediately felt like a luxury, another money story, a dream, or a nice to have that didn't fit in any of the other key areas, yet it persisted as important, so it became part of my definition of freedom long before it was ever a part of my definition of fortune. Your assignment. Review each of the five key areas of success and develop your own definitions for each. You'll need these shored up before we begin to build your growth plan so we know what really matters for your life and business. Sleep on these definitions and carry them around with you for a day or two to see if they really resonate or if you're playing with shoulds. Your growth plan goals will grow out of these definitions, so be sure you're willing to honor these definitions for the next year, since that's the duration of the plan you're creating. Celebrate. This can be some pretty tough work. In some respects, it's the hardest part of this journey. Defining success on your own terms is new for many creatives. Congratulate yourself for doing the work.